This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope everyone's having a good Friday. It's Ropp and Souk.
Can you guys shut up?
No, we cannot. We're so excited about the National Football League. And we have more to discuss here, including another late-breaking NFL story.
Jadeveon Clowney has been traded?
No.
Oh. I was like, what's happening here?
The latest is that Jay-Z is going to buy a part of a team.
What?
Did you read that?
No, I just saw that it was yesterday or the day before that he's going to be in charge of the NFL's, like,
the music.
Music.
Yeah. Well, there's a big thing about him kind of throwing Kaepernick under the bus. He's like,
well, look, let's be.
He's getting in bed with the NFL.
Let's all be honest. There's one reason and one reason only why Roger Goodell reached out to him. They needed some street cred, right? They needed to get over this. The NFL hates Colin Kaepernick and doesn't care about Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. And so what better way than going to get Jay-Z?
TMZ reports Jay-Z has had multiple reasons for becoming part of the NFL family. TMZ Sports has learned one of them is that he is going to become part owner of an NFL team, and it's going to happen soon.
Oh,
sources connected to Jay and with direct knowledge tell us Jay is going to have a significant ownership interest in an NFL team. As for which team, we're not being told, but we are told it is going to happen in the near future.
What was it? I know a piece of the Titans was for sale. I think a piece of the Broncos was for sale. Trying to think of other ones that have been available for a while. But there's a handful of teams that have had not majority stakes, but, you know, chunks of them that have been available.
Isn't he an agent, though?
No, I think they gave all that up.
Did they?
Rock Nation and all that. I think he gave it up because he wanted to own, or maybe he had to give up his ownership stake in the Nets. But, yeah, you can't be an agent and do that.
Right.
That's a no-no. So,
right, so he must not be.
So he must not be. I think he sold his stake in their agency. I know he dabbled in that for a while, but I wonder if the whole music thing is a little bit of the you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
For sure.
Yeah, you want to be involved in the NFL? Sure. You want to buy a team? We'll give you a little piece of the action, but, you know, come help us. It'd be a nice PR move. And, look, it doesn't hurt to have a billionaire with that sort of reputation in charge of your – music and entertainment. I mean, I totally get why the NFL wants to do that.
Would
and
you
I
want?
I get why Jay-Z wants to be a part of the NFL.
Would you want him to be the part owner of your team, Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Would you like that?
Sure.
If you're a Bronco fan right now, you're going, oh, I wonder if it's Denver. You know, are you like,
why?
So, well, because he doesn't know anything about football.
It doesn't matter. He's one of the most
that
popular.
That does matter.
Well, he's not. But that's the thing is he's not owning 51% of a team.
Well, that's true.
You're probably talking about a guy buying a 15%, 10% stake in a team. I mean, look, I get the guy's worth $1 billion, but last time I checked, NFL teams are worth slightly more than that. And that's his total net value. Like, he's buying a small piece, and it'll be like Derek Jeter or probably more like Magic Johnson. And, you know, you'll show up at games and smile and wave and help recruit players and things like that.
All right. As long as it's that, I'm down.
Yeah, I want.
But if Jay-Z's in there on a conference call making trades, I'm out. I'm out.
No, I do not think that would be the case. I doubt Jay-Z. He seems like a very smart guy.
I would think they would want Jay-Z in to, like, lure in free agents and stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing that that he would.
Capologist Jay-Z.
He would know his role.
So here's your hot preseason football betting tip.
But the four teams that I know that have had, by the way, pieces for sale, and that doesn't mean that these are the four, but
seriously?
The Titans, the Broncos, the Saints, and the Chargers have all, I think, had pieces for sale over the last handful of years. So maybe one of those four, if you're a fan of those, maybe Jay-Z gets his beak wet a little bit.
So last night in preseason, the Baltimore Ravens won again.
Yes.
Now, why do I say again? because, well,
they're 2-0.
If you all have a life, you don't follow this. At least you shouldn't. If you know what I'm talking about, you need to get a life.
Well, I do know that they're 2-0, but
no, I'm saying like if what I'm about to tell you, you already know, man, come on, guys.
Okay. Come on, son.
Get out more. But Baltimore, I just read about this today. Mm-hmm. Baltimore won again. They beat the Packers last night 26-13, and most importantly, covered the preseason point spread of 3.5.
They were
favored by 3.5.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, didn't play.
Exactly. And yes, you're right. Baltimore is now 2-0. They have now won 14 straight preseason football games.
You're right the hell out of town.
The Ravens. And John Harbaugh's teams are 34-12 in the preseason. Most importantly, they cover the spread. He is 31-15 against the spread in preseason football action.
Does John Harbaugh care more about preseason football than any other coach?
That is what the Sharps are saying. They're saying, and this has apparently been out there for a while. A lot of people have been on this, but I just read about it today. He's won 67% of his games, and I saw a sheet of a graph of all the current NFL coaches' preseason records.
Yeah.
And Belichick's like 44-35. But there's nobody in the 67% category like Harbaugh. Then the next closest is Mike Zimmer, who doesn't have as big of a sample size. Mike Zimmer wins a lot of preseason games. And the point is, they do emphasize winning in preseason. John Harbaugh does, and Mike Zimmer does. And that is directly reflected in not only their record, but their against the spread record. They are 31-15 against the spread in preseason, and they've won 14 straight in preseason.
There is
so, ladies and gentlemen,
bet on the Ravens.
Bet the Ravens.
Wow, bet the Ravens to cover. I may have to lay a sub down on this in preseason game number 3.
Although now that we're finding out about it, I'm sure that it will overcorrect, because Vegas knows about this too.
Sure. So. And by the way, game 3 can be a little screwy because the starters can actually play 3 quarters. So the teams will care for 3 quarters, and then it's only in the 4th when one team bails. So that may not be quite as a big a deal. Like, I'd be interested to know a detailed breakdown of those losses. How many of them were in game 3? Because that's the one where the players play the most snaps, and it would seem that teams would care.
But I don't know. He hasn't lost
He hasn't lost a bunch.
He hasn't lost a game in 3 seasons.
No. So I guess that doesn't.
He wins week 3, he wins all the weeks.
Yeah. Well, and Aaron Rodgers even came up to Lamar Jackson after last night's game, was like, hey, man, slide. Did you see Lamar Jackson had a great touchdown run?
No, because again, I don't follow preseason.
Well,
football.
I thought maybe you saw
there was
the,
a it was
highlights.
Going around Twitter yesterday.
It was a great run. I mean, he
broke like 3 tackles.
Yeah, the dude's dynamic. Like, he is all kinds of jitterbug out there, but he will not last. If this is what their plan, because Cam Newton, I think, has the NFL record. It's like 143, 153 carries as a quarterback. And John Harbaugh said, take the over. If Lamar Jackson runs the ball 160 times, he will not survive. I don't know why people continue to doubt this. Running quarterbacks don't last in the NFL. You can be shifty. You can move around. You can be Russell Wilson. But if you play the game the way Lamar Jackson did last year and what we've seen so far in the preseason, he will get hunted down and he will get killed. It's just, there's no exceptions to this.
That seems a little extreme for the NFL.
Go ask Robert the Griffin III how not sliding and
is he dead?
Well, no, but his career is. He's toiling as the third string backup.
Touché.
Yeah, he just you can't exist like this. And I
have been enjoying. There's all of a sudden everyone's really really on Lamar Jackson being good.
Yeah.
All of a sudden there's all this hype about how great he's going to be, and I'm sitting there going, what?
He cannot.
Could that be a
throw the football? Like, it's bad.
Could that be a product of just the Ravens always caring more in the preseason than looking better then?
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
it's possible.
He hasn't lost. So Lamar Jackson was his first year last year, right?
Yeah.
He has never lost a preseason game.
No, he's
he
not.
Is the king of the preseason.
And this is why you fall in love with the athletic quarterback that can run. And you did this with Marcus, Mariota. You did it with Vince Young. You did it with
Mike Vick.
Like Mike Vick, any of these guys. When you come into the league and young quarterbacks struggle a little bit, right? It's hard. Look at Sam Darnold or anyone that comes into the league, right? Very few rookies light the world on fire. It's difficult. But when you can run around and make plays with your legs, you get immediate success. And not only can you have immediate success, but it's exciting, right? You're out there making dynamic runs. Yeah, you're out there juking people and you're running. And that's great for 4 weeks. It's great for 6 weeks. Can be great for 8 or 9 weeks. But the NFL season isn't that. The NFL is 16 weeks and then the playoffs and then year after year after year. And the problem is, and this I'll go back to Marcus Mariota here, is another one that jumps out at me. When Marcus is healthy, he's shown flashes of being really good. Marcus is never healthy because this isn't college and you can't outrun everybody. Now, Lamar Jackson, to be fair, is way more athletic than Marcus. He is the most dynamic guy running with the football since Michael Vick. I mean, he is electric, and he was at Louisville too, but eventually those guys that we just got done talking about, the Jadeveon Clowneys of the world, the Von Millers, they're really fast and they will get you and they will confine you and you will start getting nicked up. And once you start getting nicked up and some of that athleticism goes away and then you have to stand in the pocket and throw the ball and you can't, that's when the wheels kind of come off, especially when you get deeper into the season and people get film on you and really smart coaches start game planning for you. It's really difficult. So I hope in Baltimore that they don't do what Washington did with RG3 or what Tennessee did with Vince Young. Because I think it ruins careers. I would rather see him kind of take his lumps a little bit and try to learn and develop as a quarterback and try to find a happy medium there instead of being the guy that thinks he's going to be Cam Newton. So,
yeah, but don't you think too, some of that, when we fall in love with those guys, there's an air of it being unstoppable, right? Yes. Like people look at that and it's like extra juicy because you go, how do you, like, when all else fails and the play breaks down, it's
frustrating,
like,
for defense.
Yeah, it's backyard football, and these guys are fast. It's like
Kaepernick did it for a while, right?
Yeah.
Kaepernick slaughtered the Packers.
Great.
Running with the football.
Boy, he was, man,
he's a great athlete.
Dude, Colin Kaepernick has become a totally different topic for totally different reasons now, but you think back to those Niners teams.
Yep.
The Super Bowl team, particularly.
Fun.
God, he was unstoppable.
Yep.
He was good. So good.
But eventually what happened? Got a little less athletic.
Well, Harbaugh left, right?
Got a little chipped up, and then Harbaugh left, but the decline started before that, and teams started to figure it out. Defenses are smart. Defenses are really athletic, and we've yet to see the guy that can break the mold in the NFL, and maybe Lamar's that guy. It just scares me that a guy that isn't that well-built, and they're talking about him, you know, running the ball 150, 160 times over the course of a year, and It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it works out.
Took us a while to get to all of it, but ladies and gentlemen, your Friday NFL reach around. Right there. And bet the Ravens in the preseason. I'm going to start giving you the lines.
Don't bet the preseason.
I'm going to start giving you the lines only of the Ravens.
The
games.
Ravens.
Yeah.
So I've determined.
We're going to follow this.
Bet that. And if I'm Seattle, I do. I pull the trigger on Jadeveon Clowney.
Second round pick.
I don't care if it's a rental or not. I pulled the trigger on that. Giving up a two, and I looked it up. They have 2 second-round picks next year. You pull the trigger on that, and you instantly upgrade your defensive line. I do that if I'm the Seattle Seahawks. If that's what it takes, pull the trigger on it.
Oregon-Auburn tickets. We talk that next. 418 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, our bros from Salem are underway at the Little League World Series. They're from Sprague down there. First ever appearance in the Little League World Series for a team from Salem. And they are underway against New Jersey. And I think New Jersey might be the team. Was that the team that was accused of stealing signs we were talking about yesterday?
No, that was Rhode Island.
Are you sure?
Yes. It was the team from Rhode Island against the team from New Hampshire.
Okay.
They're all cheating bastards out there on the East.
Look at this big bruiser pitching to.
I know.
For the New Jersey team.
I always enjoy.
How old is that kid?
I always enjoy in the world or the Little League World Series when there's one kid that like drives up in a Camaro. He's like smoking a cigarette. His girlfriend's a cocktail waitress. He's putting the butt out on his foot. He's like, let's go do this. There's always, and everyone
he's got
knew,
a mustache.
Yeah, everyone knew that kid, right? Like, everyone played football or baseball with that guy. Ours was Danny Gruenberg. I swear to God, the guy looks exactly the same now as he did when he was 13 years old. And then unfortunately for Danny and a lot of those guys, everyone else grows up, and then you're no longer that kid. You just hit puberty 6 years before everyone else.
Well, that kid's pitching for New Jersey.
Look at it.
He's huge.
Well, he's got a... He's a...
What?
The backside. There's a lot of power coming from those legs. He looks like a rhino out there.
Big guy.
Yeah, big boy.
All right.
Look at the poor little kids looking at him. It's like some little kid from Sprague right now that weighs like 94 pounds that's staring this kid down.
And by the way, this guy's not throwing gas. He's throwing all cheese.
Yeah, he's throwing junk.
He's got him off balance.
Breaking off curves.
Good times. Hey, college football is back. The AdvoCare Classic brings the action to Arlington with a thrilling matchup between Oregon and Auburn on Saturday, August 31st at 31st at AT&T Stadium. Get your tickets now at SeatGeek.com, the official ticket provider of AT&T Stadium. Now that's a read.
That's
they call that a read in radio.
That's like the Zoo Lights read that you do, just smooth as
so
butter.
I was required to read that, but that leads us into something that I saw today, and it was that for the ticket allotment. Now I don't know how many tickets the University of Oregon gets for that game, mm-hmm. but there was a tweet out from somebody down there today that said that Oregon only has 50 tickets left in its allotment for that Auburn game.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, first of all, the game's like right around the corner.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know whether that was good or bad. They were kind of selling it as, oh man, these are going like hotcakes. We're going to sell out. Well, I would think you would, right? You would sell out a game like that. Dallas, that game is Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, but man, there's a lot of seats in that place.
There are. And that's why I don't know the, like I said, I don't know Oregon's allotment, mm-hmm. but the fact that they haven't sold out their allotment, good or bad.
Oh, I don't think it's great, but I mean,
you telling me you think Auburn hasn't sold out their allotment?
Again, I think it's a lot different getting from Auburn to Texas than it does.
Oh, I know. Oregon I'm just, to Texas. And of course, no one should compare traveling fan base of Oregon to Auburn's sure. at all. But I'm just saying that I would have thought for that game, that particular game, that there's a lot of hype around Oregon this year. There, it's set up.
Yeah,
it's in Dallas on Labor Day weekend. So it is a holiday weekend.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you're doing stuff with the family. It's your last time before kids That's go true. Back to school.
That's look, true.
And you said it's only a handful of tickets left. Look, I'm just not shocked, all right? I don't think it looks great on the fan base,
either.
But it doesn't shock me.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's shocked. It's just I think they were trying to sell it as, oh, man, this is great. And I don't know. Is it?
I'm looking here.
How many Oregon fans will be at that game?
Yeah, what is the face value of that? Like, if you're buying from, you know, I don't know what the face value if you're buying from Oregon, but I went on SeatGeek.
How much?
Well, it depends. You can get in the building for $35, but you're in the...
Really?
Yeah, you're in the Badlands, my man.
Give me a good seat.
And if you've ever been to the Death Star...
It's big.
Let me tell you that the Badlands are as bad as it gets.
Aren't there like 9 levels?
It's ridiculous. And if you're at the top, you will not be able to see the field. You're watching the video board. So if you just want to go down there and you don't care, you're going to watch the video board, you just want to be in there for the experience, $35 will get you in. And then there's going to be fees. So let's say $45, right, to get in. You want a good seat or a great seat?
Give me the great.
Great? $300 to $450 gets you a great seat.
Okay.
And if you want a decent seat, $100 to $100 and looks like maybe $35.
Okay.
Gets you a good solid seat.
I mean,
seat.
That's not terrible.
No. That's way better than I thought.
Yeah. It's a huge game.
Yeah.
Oregon's got to have it. It's supposed to be a close game.
Well, it's a great trip. Lots to do in Dallas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you've never been down there, stadium is a great experience.
That's what I'm saying.
You can get a seat, or you can get one of the suites. You can get in there, but that's gonna run you.
Is that where they serve the crappy pizza?
Yeah, the crappy pizza and all that, and you get to
and
watch
endless popcorn.
You get to watch the players walk by you, but that's gonna run you close to a grand.
Watch the player. Oh, that's where. Yeah, there they have that deal where there's like the bar where the players walk from the locker room through the bar,
and you can see them and like high five people. But again, it looks like that's
get your selfies.
Yeah, with fees and everything, you're coughing up some dough.
Somebody texted the Better You Today text line said, Oregon tickets going for the price of Timbers tickets. What a world we live in. Are Timbers tickets that expensive?
I can take a look for you. But I mean, are they talking about the cheaps or are they talking about the expensive?
Don't know, man.
Well, and again, remember too that Timbers tickets, you've got a captive audience and you don't have to get to Dallas to go see that game. Look, I'm not a diehard Duck fan. I'm not a diehard anyone fan. But I remember when BYU played Oklahoma, and I think that was the first game at Jerry's World. I think that kicked the whole thing off in this game. And that was Sam Bradford coming back. It was a big deal. And we had some people that wanted to go down, and I thought about it. I considered it, and it would have been a cool experience, but ultimately the price of it was just too much. By the time I got done with airfare, and this is just me, I wasn't taking a family or anyone, but I think the plane ticket down there that I found, because during this time they jack up ticket prices, like they know that people want to go down there. I want to say the ticket was, you know, $550, right around there. Two nights hotel, you're into that for $250 a piece. And I think the ticket to the game for a decent seat, same thing, was $100, $125. And I figured food, I honestly just didn't want to, I didn't want to drop $1,200.
I hear you.
To go down and see the game. So, and I don't fault people. Like, I know everyone gives like fan bases a hard time. Why aren't we better, you know, represented down there? And, you know, this is a big game. Well, I'm sure it is. But if you want to go down there with your wife, you want to go down there with your son, you know, you're into it for a couple grand. That's, you know, that's a lot of money. And by the way,
tell that to Auburn fan.
Yeah, Timbers tickets.
They're saving up for that.
Yeah, Timber They're tickets going. Against it. It depends. Like, if you want the Atlanta game, and that's coming up here on August 18th, you get into is it Providence now? You can get into Providence Park for $25.
That's probably just in the Army, right? You go. There's no selected seats. You just go and sit wherever you can sit.
Yeah, let's see where that is. Yeah, that's on the one end. The GA supporters.
Yeah,
that's the Thunderdome. $23.
That'd be pretty fun to sit in there with those guys.
It is a lot of fun, yeah.
Have you sat in there?
I have, yeah.
I haven't, but you can get, I didn't realize, but depending on, you can get lower level around. You can get on the end lower level for $45 and right in the middle for $100, $90. That's a good, I think that's a good value because that's a great experience.
All right, well, the game's August 31st, whether it's full of Duck fans or not.
There'll be a good showing.
It'll be the same as all the other big Duck games on the road in big stadiums. Like, they've had a million of these.
Sure.
LSU game, the Ohio State games, sure. The
70-30, maybe 60-40.
The Florida State game. What else have we had? You've had the...
They played, Kansas State, although I don't know K-State. How big that was, but, you know.
Well, that was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had many.
There'll be a good showing, but it'll be a heavy Auburn crowd.
But I mean, if you want tickets to the school, you can still get them. They're not sold out.
Yeah.
If you want to go down there and watch them. All right, coming up next. Hey, are you ready for the big battle tomorrow?
I am.
It's going to be big.
I know the battle of which you speak. And no, you should not be ready for it. Stay the hell out.
Wait, what?
Oh, are we not talking about the same big battle?
I think we're talking about the same
big
battle.
Yeah, we are, but stay out. You're telling me to stay out?
Yeah.
I'm Antifa, bro.
There's a no-go zone. You're not supposed to go there.
No, man.
I got my Antifa gear all ready to go. I'm going to be down there.
It's going
to
be all
No, bad. I'm kidding. Yeah. I hate them all. And we're going to talk about it next. That's in the news. But first, Mike.
Let's hate, man.
Don't forget to show love.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
That's right, Mike. Great drops for this next segment that we will perform here on the broadcast. It is August 16th, 2019. Jace, it is time for the news. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Bratwurst Day.
We had some brats at the little company party that we weren't invited to.
There are still some back there. I went and got one.
It's still going on. I hear him back there.
I'm not eating.
It's getting louder and louder.
I can't eat twice.
Because they're getting more drunk.
I already had lunch.
It's also National Tell a Joke Day.
Oh, boy. Are we getting a dad joke?
Excuse me?
I assumed that you were coming prepared with some sort of horrific dad joke.
I have I have two.
Okay.
And they're not dad jokes. They're amazing. Actually, I have three. I can give you a third.
How about you just do one? How about we go with one and see how that goes?
First of all, the boss is out of town, right?
Yeah.
I guess that wouldn't matter because...
He doesn't listen.
I have one that is not dirty, but it is borderline.
Okay.
Do you want it or no? Should I avoid it?
Well, I mean,
after all, it is
after
my ass.
After you set that up, are we going to say no, we don't want the joke?
It's my ass.
Exactly. So you need to decide whether or not you think you want to lay it out there.
How risky is it? Because we've got drops that are pretty risky out of context.
Yeah, but something tells me I'll tell you off the probably air. Shouldn't do
Let me
this
tell you, I'm not going to do it.
Waffling.
I know, I'm not going to do it. I'll tell you off the air. However,
no
Jace,
peanut butter on the wing.
I did leave my Adderall in my Ford Fiesta.
What?
Now it's Ford Focus.
Yeah!
Wow.
No. So my grandma started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. You know how old she is?
How old?
She's 97, and we have no idea where she is.
Ah, God. All right. Let's just end that. The moment you said it was national to
Those
tell a...
Those are great.
The moment you said it was national to tell a joke... Look at Mike. He's
what?
Just stunned.
Oh, Mike's an idiot.
The second one was good. I didn't like the first
Mike
one.
Mike has no sense of humor.
He's sitting there just
That
staring.
Was greatness. You guys are lucky to have a joke teller like me.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you the risque one in the break.
All right, and we'll see.
And then we
maybe,
can decide whether or not it's
Yeah, I'll let, we'll
terrible.
Do this democratically.
Guessing the answer is no, but we'll see what happens.
So I love that we now just have generic protests.
Yeah, I don't really know what this is exactly. I just know that...
Does anyone?
Well, no,
The answer
really.
Is no. No this one knows like the... what is actually being protested tomorrow, but everyone knows there is a big protest. Isn't this the definition of missing the mark?
Welcome to America.
Am I wrong?
2019.
Yeah, I was trying to sit there and
it's
kinda,
just generic protest.
You kind of blew my mind with that one because the more I thought about it, I'm like, I have no idea. Well, I know what the Antifa protest is. Does that count?
I mean, that's part of it.
Well, the Antifa protest is protesting the Proud Boys.
Well, I think what we have here. So here's what I read. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So we have two Florida dudes. These guys are from Florida. Why they're coming here, I have no idea.
People are coming from all over the country.
Yeah, all of the big scaries from all these groups are coming here.
Yes.
For some
so,
reason.
Well, I think it's because they know the police can't do that much, and they know that they will get a platform. Right, so these guys are holding an end domestic terrorism rally.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So
the Proud Boys are.
No, these two Florida guys. I don't know who I don't know who they are. So they expect over 1,000 people to show up from all over the country. Well, this means that Antifa will counter protest that.
Yeah, so that's I knew Antifa's protest.
And they're the anti-fascists. You know,
so Antifa is going to protest ending domestic terrorism?
Yes.
They want domestic terrorism.
Well, no, well,
but
no,
they're,
no, no, no.
Here's the thing is it's interesting, though, because they protest fascists by being fascist.
A little bit, yeah. That's why no one likes them.
It's confusing.
They have the worst approach of all time.
Is this what you want?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very weird. It's like, hey, you don't punch that person in the face. I'm going to punch you in the face. It's very weird. It's the two lefts, right? Or two wrongs make a right, whatever. You know, it's strange. I don't understand it.
So they'll be there, and then that means that the Proud Boys will show up.
I thought the Proud Boys were the ones that were starting this.
No, well, it sounds like the Florida guys are Antifa.
And
I
don't know what they are. But they hate, so the Proud Boys hate Antifa.
Yes, and Antifa hates the Proud Boys.
Yeah, and they hate, and they've battled before. Now, then you get, so I guess InfoWars people are going to be here.
Yeah.
So they're going to show up. And then the snowflake protesters will come out and protest those guys.
Yeah.
And then you also have Patriot Prayer, but Joey Gibson got arrested today.
Well, and I read that Patriot Prayer is telling people not to show up because they feel that none of the Antifa people are going to get arrested, but all of the Patriot Prayer Proud Boys are going to get arrested.
That's their big beef, yeah.
And they don't want to get arrested without the other side getting arrested. I had a friend.
I'm so confused.
We all are. But I had a friend of mine in the Portland Police Department that I was talking to about a separate matter.
Protest.
And he legitimately said, guys, he said, this is no joke. He goes, we have, because it was reported that a scary guy from El Paso that showed up armed at a immigrant detention center. And they checked him out, and I guess his gun was legal. He had like an assault rifle and like a knife or something. And so they released him. And he said, hey, I'm going up to Portland. And I was like, well, that's kind of scary that guy's coming up here just for that. I'm like, you're just asking for someone to get shot or really hurt. And he goes, dude, that's tip of the iceberg. He goes, there's so many other bad people, legitimate, scary, armed people that are going to be here. He goes, we have a whole task force, basically, that's dedicated to this. So when the police are saying that this is going to be unprecedented force, he's claiming that is not BS, that they are having to take this legitimately seriously because they think – that this could turn south, and it could turn south in a hurry. Now, I'm not talking about milkshakes with rocks. You're talking about people dying, like really, really bad stuff. So, like, if you don't have to be in downtown, don't. Don't be a looky-loo. Don't go. Just avoid the hell out of this.
Well, they have a huge area of downtown now is called a no-go zone, and they're saying anybody who is not a part of this protest, do not go to this area.
Yeah.
And it's basically from Waterfront Park up to like Broadway, and it kind of gets narrower as it goes up, but it's a large portion as far as I saw this morning.
They're bringing in big cement blocks. They're having to do that. There are some, you know, those big cement things like dividers.
Yeah, the barriers.
They're bringing in those. You know, TriMet has to alter things. All the businesses down there have to alter things. Like, it just sucks. It's like,
and no one
these
really,
boobs
and
affect
we don't really
all
know
sorts.
What it is.
They affect all sorts of events downtown and all sorts of commerce and all sorts of resources. It's absolutely absurd. And you're exactly right. Nobody understands what it is. Here's what most Portlanders are doing right now. We know it's going on.
Yeah.
We don't really understand who's who and what's what. We will watch the news and they will show the most violent portions of the protest.
Yes.
We will still get, even on the news, we will get no information about why everyone's beating each other over the head with tomatoes. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know why they come here to do it. I guess it's just because our laws are so lax. And of course, Antifa is a big part of Portland. So maybe they come here to stir them up.
Sure.
So I don't know. It's just,
well, and isn't it?
No one knows the message. It's just a mess.
Well, and it's also could get freaky too, because right, the police are, and rightfully so, are being like, look, we're not putting up with any crap, right? We're gonna stop this, right? At the first sign of trouble, you will be met with force. But that can also kick fire into this thing, because what if, you know, the police are like, look, we got to put a stop to this, and they get forceful. In a stunning development, one of the idiots in the other group decides that they're not going to take that, and they decide to get a little rowdy. Look, you've got a keg of gasoline here, and all it takes is one match, and that's legitimate. I'm worried for the business owners. I'm worried for the cops. This is all bad, man. All bad. And it's right in the middle of our fair city. So, and then to me, as someone, it, like, isn't it embarrassing that this is where we live? Like, this is what we're known for? Like, this will be a national news story. You're like, God, that doesn't represent us. Shoot, maybe it does.
I think it does.
A lot of our listeners are telling us to draw upon Crazy Eyes McGinley on this.
There you go. Get him down
Let's
there.
Get him down there.
Let's get some arborvitas.
Some arbs. Some
you don't
cement
need
blocks.
Concrete blocks. Just get some arborvitas. They can't go past those.
I love
well,
it.
I will tell you that in the
Use
one
some sand.
The one riot I've ever been in, the soccer riot, when people really did get hurt, they did separate us with wooden barriers. And let me tell you, that worked real well until someone took the wooden barrier, broke it in half, and then used it to bludgeon the other side.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say they lit it on fire.
No. One of the soccer hooligans literally picked up one of the orange and white striped, like, crowd control barriers. He broke it in half and then started swinging it. And then at that point, the riot was on. So I'm here to tell you that in my situation with my experience with riots, the little barrier, yeah, that didn't work. People easily found a way to circumvent that and beat the other people.
All right, so it's tomorrow. Be safe out there, kids. Poor old Raleigh Hills man scammed out of $15,000 cash almost. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
An 83-year-old Raleigh Hills man. Man, these people, they prey on the olds, you know? I hate that. We'll leave our olds alone. We need to protect our olds.
Yeah, pray on me instead. That happened too.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I would feel, look, you're out 10 G's.
Sure.
You may or may not get it back. But I would feel way worse for an 83-year-old man who is out 10 G's.
Agreed.
Due to contractor fraud. No offense.
Yeah.
But it's the olds, man. They're just so lovable and gullible and trusting. This man's in Raleigh Hills, and he recently almost lost $15,000 in a common scam. He had fallen victim to the lottery scam, which is where they call and tell you you've won the lottery, but you have to pay a percentage of the winnings in order to have the money delivered.
Yeah.
And so, people do this.
Oh, yeah.
The old's just like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, so, look, let's be honest. Sometimes the old's, you know, they've lost a step or two.
So get this. Here's what they convinced him to do. So he sent them a check for $25,000.
Whoa.
And the bank caught it and did not allow it to be cashed.
Good.
So then they convinced him to mail them the cash, and he was instructed to conceal $15,000 worth of $100 bills between pages of notebooks, which were then taped together and sealed inside a shipping box.
Oh, and he went through with it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that stinks, but really the only person that would fall for that, right, is the olds. I mean, that's not a real complex scheme. That's just someone that's, you know, maybe old and looking for a quick payday or doesn't quite understand. I mean, that stinks. And so
they got his money back, though.
They got the $100 back? The $100 bills?
Yeah. The 15, they got the notebook. They intercepted the notebook.
Who did?
The deputies. Oh. So they said if anyone asked what was in the box he was mailing, he was to say it was a gift for his granddaughter's graduation. They even had him buy a graduation card and put it on top of the box. Huh. On July 22nd, deputies went to the man's home because his family reported him missing. It turned out the man left to mail the $15,000. So deputies intercepted the package at a local UPS store before they opened for the morning. The man was able to get his money back. If the money had been mailed, deputies said it would have been lost forever.
Thank heavens.
He was going to mail it to Georgia.
Thank heavens. And hopefully they know where the address was going and they can track these people down with some sort of sting. And that stinks, man. You're preying on the old.
Never mail anyone to anything.
No.
I mean, did that make any sense? No, it didn't. Never mail anything to anyone money-wise. Ahead of time, right?
That's
like
nice.
You just can't. That's the rule of thumb.
Yeah.
If you win the lottery, or if you, I don't know, all these different ways they try to say, oh, well, we need this up front.
Yeah.
Never send it up front. That's the scam.
It's all bad. My grandmother, before she passed, it wasn't quite this bad. I mean, technically, what they were doing was, I guess, on the up and up, but like a casino got their hooks in her, and they would call her and like send a shuttle for her even after like her caretakers had sent like a cease and desist, and then they would call her and let her place bets over the phone. And it was
what casino?
Well, in Utah, there's a, you can go into Wendover. It's just a little bit away and it's right on the Nevada border. And she went there and they got their hooks into her. And I think by the time it was done, they ended up taking her for right around 100 G's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, and her husband had dementia at the time, and it was really bad. And so
they didn't really scam her. They just
marketed
gently
the hell
pushed her
yeah.
to keep well, spending money.
And it right. wasn't necessarily a gentle push. And
that's
like,
how they get around
and
that.
People had contacted them and were like, you need to stop this, you know, whatever. And they would be like, you gotcha. And then, sure enough, they would call, like, they would block numbers and they would call from a different number. I mean, they took an 85-year-old woman who wasn't quite all there, and they had her gambling. They would put her at high stakes, like tables, and
wow,
it was bad. It was really bad, and they lost a lot of money.
And that's a legitimate casino, or like,
I don't know about legitimate casino. Okay. It was one of the, you know.
So it was a scam.
It was a scam.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know.
No, and unfortunately, they had to eventually take away the. My grandmother's access to her own money. They had to just be like, yep, this can't do it, and someone has to be in charge and get an allowance and all this. And in the end of the day, she was lonely. It was someone that was willing to talk to her. And, you know, it was a little bit of a ride to get from her house to the, you know, it was probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours to get there. And they would send like a car to come pick her up, and she loved talking to someone.
Yeah, she's lonely.
Lonely.
That's how you get the old.
Her husband had dementia and was lonely, and there you go.
Another text says, my mom just got scammed out of $1,400 by people who hacked into her computer and then pretended to be Microsoft offering to fix it for $1,400.
Yeah. Ugh.
I saw a story recently on this. I don't know how you feel about this, but there's a debate going on now about putting cameras on our olds and if that is an invasion of privacy or if that is prudent.
Just to keep an eye on them?
Well, yeah. And I mean, it somewhat applies to this, but just generally, our olds, you know,
yeah,
they need a lot of them need a watchful eye more often.
They're susceptible to this.
Yeah. So like, is a camera on them in their room or whatever, in their house, is that an invasion of privacy or is that a prudent move?
Boy, that's a question for someone that's got a higher pay grade than me. It's interesting, though. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, because I'm a big believer of, dude, mind your own business and people can do what they want to do. And, you know, they have rights and, you know, freedoms, and you don't want someone watching at all times. But this, you can't have people taking advantage of old people. That sucks.
All right. That's it for In the News, August 16th, 2019. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. We'll give you an update on our Little League boys. Three NFL teams hit with big injuries today, and one baseball team loses a pretty exciting player. We'll get to that all next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.